In addition to taking care of one another inside the church, what if we developed a lifestyle of taking care of the most needy outside the walls of the church? How would that change the community and our city? Bob Moffitt, president and founder of Harvest Foundation in Phoenix, along with Pastor Julian Gibb, talk with pastors and leaders about how sacrificial love by those in the church to those in need outside the church has helped people see and embrace Jesus Christ. It's that demonstration of Jesus' greatest commandment that we'll hear more about today on The Kingdom and Its Stories.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are. My name is Julian Gibb, and I currently serve at the Harvest Foundation. And today we're blessed to have, well, my very brand new friend, Linda. So you are listening to The Kingdom and Its Stories. And today, as I say, we have Linda. So Linda, welcome.
Thank you.
So Linda, tell me, my wife, she was at a church on the East, and she bumped into you and she said, oh, you have to speak to Linda. Linda is just doing wonderful things, serving in the east part of the valley. And so, Linda, what is it that you're doing?
Actually, I'm the coordinator for Operation Christmas Child. It is under the umbrella of Samaritan's Purse, and it's the largest evangelistic program for children. Mm. We prepare a shoebox, of which I refer to the shoebox as a vessel. It's simply a vessel to carry the gospel message to each child that we visit their village.
Well, so in this vessel, in this shoebox, what do you put inside?
Inside we put hygiene items, washcloth, soap, toothbrush. Those are must-have items. We also put school supplies, paper, pencils, pens, because many of our countries, they can only go to school if they have their own supplies. So we view that as a very necessary item in the box. We always try to put something to cuddle. Many children have lost their parents. They're in orphanages. They have nothing to give them comfort. So we send a little comfort item like that as well. And of course, toys. They like toys, but that's not a priority for us. And then when they go to the village, we also put dresses that we make out of pillowcases.
Oh.
And so it's a nice avenue to get ladies involved. We have about 14 ladies that sew pillowcases. They sew marble bags. We bag all of our marbles for the children. And we make doll blankets so they can wrap their doll up in the blanket. Or if they need it themselves, they can use it for themselves. So we have a large project of sewing, ladies, and those homemade items also go into the box.
Wonderful. Well, I've got lots of questions coming from that. So first of all, you say you make dresses. I mean, you have an army of volunteers, do you? And you bring fabrics and how does that work?
Okay, we do have an army of volunteers. God has really, really blessed our ministry with amazing volunteers. Right when we need the certain person, they show up. Mm. We have a room in our church. It's Operation Christmas Child Room. And at the end of that room is the sewing center. It's all the supplies that the ladies need. They sew at home because most of them are older ladies. And they don't get out and about much, but this has given them purpose to life.
Yeah.
I also drive around and drop off fabric and supplies that they need. If I'm in their area, I ride a motorcycle, so it's a great avenue for me to get out and ride and drop off supplies to the ladies too.
And so how many of these dresses do you think you make in a year, or how many dresses have you made?
Well, our goal is always 500, because we pack 500 boxes for girls age 5 to 9 at our packing party. This year, they made 670 dresses. They got a little carried away, which is a good thing.
Is this a group of ladies?
Yes.
How many are there in your group?
There's 14 that actually sew the dresses.
14.
And in our Operation Christmas Child team together, it's about 75 people at our church.
Okay, wonderful. So you have 14 ladies put together about 600 dresses.
Oh, yes.
Wow.
They have a wonderful time. Every week they come carrying dresses into the church. And we put rods, my husband did, at the ceiling of our room so we can hang dresses. Otherwise, they would take up too much floor space.
Wow. And one thing I'm noticing in your face is joy.
Yes.
You know, when you speak about this, it brings joy. You know, and so for, excuse me, for myself, for instance, it's kind of like, well, first of all, sewing's not my forte. You know, I remember I was putting on a button on a blazer on a sports jacket, you know, and I used the wrong color, you know, and it just was a disaster. But you know, there's this joy coming from you from what must be quite a laborious activity. You know, 600 dresses, coordinating all of that fabric. There must be some element of quality control, you know, and then the distribution of this. So why are you joyful? Why are you joyful? You've got all the, you're carrying this heavy burden, this albatross. You know, why? What makes you joyful about it?
I think anything that we get to participate in that glorifies God brings joy, and that's the bottom line for me. I have a passion for children and the gospel message, so this ministry puts both of those together for me. And the other element of the sewing, these are ladies that lost purpose in life. Their children are grown. Their home is empty. The husband's retired. They're bored. And the very first lady that I got to sew for us, I was sitting in Sunday school class and she had the most beautiful purse and it was sitting on the floor. And I said, "Oh my gosh, Judy, that purse is gorgeous. Tell me where I can get one." And she just lit up and she said, "Well, I sewed that." I said, "Wait a minute, you sewed that?" I said, "How would you like to sew dresses for God?" And with that, she began sewing. And her story is just amazing how much joy it has brought her.
Well, you've heard it here. If you want a good purse, go to Judy. So.
That's right. That's right. It was beautiful.
And so from what, not putting words in your mouth, but paraphrasing you, what you're saying is that when you serve Jesus, it brings you joy.
Absolutely.
And so do you feel closer to Jesus when you're doing this?
I don't know if closer is the word, but he walks right next to me. I mean, as soon as I feel like, oh no, I have this to face or that to solve, or where are we going to get this? He provides the person, or he provides the item, or he provides the child that says, "Miss Linda, I love this ministry." And that I believe he walks side by side with me every day.
Amen.
The opportunity to witness. Oh, wow.
I'm thinking of George Müller, you know, the sort of the Germanic English gentleman, you know, a couple of hundred years ago in England, and he opened up an orphanage, and they would just they had nothing, but they would just pray, and then miraculously food would arrive or money would arrive, you know. And so it's like, how are we going to do this? And then God provides. So well, wonderful to hear that's working with you. And clearly it's a step of faith, you know, whether God will provide for you. But I'm still blown away with 14 ladies making 600 dresses. If they could sew my button on my sports jacket, I'd appreciate it. I'll be driving around. But so you know, many people, well, we're all very busy. You know, we're, you know, in the Western culture, you know, we're all we have jobs, or we're looking after homes, raising children, looking after senior parents. You know, busy, busy, busy. And so. How do you, I'm pausing now. How do you guys find the time to do this? Or Are there people within your church who are younger, who have all these commitments and things? Are they involved, or is it just a certain section of your church?
We have age 14 is our youngest one, and she has a passion for this ministry, and she's going to California with us this year to process the shoeboxes. Very, very excited about that. She's been waiting to turn 14 to do that. And our oldest one on our team would be Catherine, and I'd say she's probably 88. So we have all ages. Because of the ages, we have high school kids that help us tremendously. We also have a college group, and these children in our church, we have seen them from grade school to junior high to high school and now college, and they've stayed involved with our ministry. And the exciting thing to me is going to California, we have college kids that have invited their college friends they've just met to go to the processing center with us.
Oh, wow.
And
So,
the effect is amazing.
and how do you think that the process, this mission, this operation, how do you think that it has affected you? How has it affected the people within your church? You know, this 14-year-old. You know, what ways has God worked through this in order to, a bit of a broad word, but transform them?
I believe that it has done a couple of different ways. I have a little tiny guy. He's about 5 or 6. He comes in the OCC room and he goes, "Miss Linda, can I pack a box?" I said, "Yes, Patrick, honey, you can pack a box." So he knows the room well enough to know what age is where at in the room. So he'll get his little box and then he'll say, "You know, Miss Linda, I'm packing toys in this box." "That's okay, Patrick, pack toys." And then he says, "But they get to learn about Jesus." I said, "That's right, Patrick. This little guy's only 5 or 6 years old, but he caught that vision just by being in and out of that room all the time. You know, he's never been to an Operation Christmas Child event as such, but he's in and out of that room. The room is very impactful. That's where your wife wandered into, where she saw all the dresses. But I believe the children that get involved at a young age become passionate. And we've heard from many children that have gotten our boxes, and their pictures are up in our room. I got a message this week through Facebook from a little girl in the Philippines that received a box last year from us. And they just had that cyclone. And she said, "Miss Linda, please, please have your church pray for us. We have 45 foot of water here." So when you hear from the children, it makes it real. It isn't like we just send this vessel with the gospel message and wonder if anything ever happened. We have so many children accept Jesus through that gospel message. And I can't wait to meet them all in heaven.
Well, amen. I mean, can you give us some more examples of what you just said in regards to are you able to link up with some of the children in the countries?
Well, we send in our boxes at our packing party, we pack 1,000 boxes, 500 boys, 500 girls. In those 1,000 boxes, I send a flyer. And on the flyer, it has our children of the church packing boxes. The next picture is our men of the church packing boxes. And the third picture is the women of the church packing boxes. And then out to the side, I write, "Jesus loves you, and so do we. We'd love to hear from you." And then I put our church Facebook page, and then I put our church email address. Most of the time, if we hear from a child, it's through our church Facebook page. And then our person that handles our media, he will contact me and say, "I'm forwarding you a message from the Philippines. I'm forwarding you a message from Uganda from a child." And that's how we hear most of the time from a child.
And so you said one, you know, about the with the flooding, but can you, what did the children say to you?
Oh, the first thing they always say is how much they love the pictures, and they can't believe that somebody that didn't even know them sent them a gift. Their appreciation is always, very, very profound, very thankful.
So you're literally loving your neighbor around the world.
Absolutely, absolutely. I have a little boy in the Philippines. I can't remember his exact location in the Philippines. It just left me. But he's 14, and I got a picture of him. He had a yellow shirt on, and he had everything in his box laying out before him, and he sent me a message. Thank you. I love my gift, but most of all, I love Jesus. Every week right now, he is memorizing scripture, and he will contact me to tell me what scripture he's learning. And I was looking at his picture, and I said, oh, I said, you're missing your T-shirt and your yo-yo. You know what he said to me? My friend didn't get to come and get a gift, so I gave those to him.
Oh, man.
Is that awesome?
Oh, man. Wow. You know, if that was me, I would have been coveting someone else's yo-yo, you know, and trying to find ways. But yeah, there's this small child, the other side of the world, who Jesus has touched.
Absolutely.
And this small child is, even when he doesn't have much, is sharing the little that he had, like the widow's mite, in a sense.
Absolutely. You know? Yes.
And just passing on the message of God's love. Oh, any more? This I could do this all day. Any more stories like that?
We have another precious picture that I keep in our room. It's a little girl. She's about 2.5 years old, and she's holding up to her face just like this, as tight as she can hold it, her favorite item. Can you guess what it might be?
Chocolate.
No food can go in the boxes, so no chocolate.
Oh, no chocolate. Tell me.
Soap and washcloth.
Mm.
Because the soap smelled so good.
Wow.
And she was in just a dirt-filled area. Just dirt. And we get our soap from a ministry up in Las Vegas. It's called Clean the World.
Mm.
They recycle soap. They clean it. And they remold it. And on the soap, it says, clean the world.
Huh. Wow. This is going off topic. But how do you recycle soap? I mean, how does that work?
They boil it, bleach it, and it's quite a process. There's only two places in the U.S. that do it. It's in Florida and Las Vegas.
Ah.
And I can't remember how we hooked up with them, but we drive up there every January to Las Vegas, pick up a truck full of soap, literally like thousands of bars of soap. 8,000 or 10,000 bars, and then we drive it back down. That's what we use for the year.
So tell me some of the. It seems from what you're saying, and this is an obvious statement, but these children are in somewhat desperate situations sometimes. You know, particularly to the high standard that of living that we're blessed with here in the U.S.
Absolutely.
So I mean, as you're saying that these children are they're struggling. They, you know, they're saying this one girl is covered with dirt all around her, and so this is a real ray of hope coming from someone the other side of the world, you know. And do they? I mean, you've already shed some light on this, but do they ask you, why are you doing this? Why are you sending me? You know, for a child here, a box of soap and a box of toothpaste. You know? They may think you've gone crazy. You know, where's my Nintendo? You know, where's my year's supply of chocolate? You know, but so these children, you know, sort of from what you're saying, these are wonderful, practical gifts. And so do they stop? Do they ask you, like, why? Why are you, you don't know me. Why are you doing this?
Yes, we do get that. But I think... when you actually know the whole working of the team, we have a team on this side of the box and we have a team on the other side of the box. These are mirrored teams. We want to glorify God on the front side of the box, which is our team here in the U.S. And then we pray over every single box. No box leaves our hand without being prayed over. And then our semi trucks that we're filling this week, they are prayed over. This box is prayed through customs. It's prayed all the way to the hands of our team on the other side. We pray for them. We pray for the children. Where we go into the villages, there has to be a Christian there. in order for us to go, because once we present the gospel message, we want to be able to raise these children up through our discipleship program, which is 12 weeks. And our graduation rate from our discipleship program with the children is unbelievable. It's like 92%.
Amen.
And that means they attended all of their classes, they did their workbook, they attended graduation, where they get a cap and a gown, and they get their own little Bible.
Because that was going to be my next question is, you know, it's wonderful. We all love receiving gifts. And particularly if they don't receive any, you know, the parents aren't able to give, and suddenly this stranger provides them with a gift, and it's wonderful and it's useful, and they feel loved. But, you know, what goes from, you know, what happens from there? How does this long-term love, how does this generate into something more eternal? And so you've answered that in the sense of that this isn't just, hey, here's your shoebox, here's your vessel,
right?
You know, play with this, wear that, and, you know, have a good life. You're really you're really seeking to journey with these children.
Absolutely.
Not force anything upon them, but journey with them for eternity. Is that right?
That is absolutely right. In fact, our program is called The Greatest Journey. And when the shoeboxes arrive into their village and they pass the shoeboxes out to the children, they're taped shut. They can't open that shoebox. It's taped shut. On top of the shoebox, it's about this big. It's about 5x7, little booklet. It's the gospel message in their language. So while they're waiting for 500 or 600 kids to get their shoeboxes, they're sitting there with their little legs crossed, their shoebox on their lap, and they're going through their book that they got that's in their language. Then they present the gospel message to the entire group. Our missionaries there do. And then after that is when they go through and slice the boxes open for the children.
Okay.
Our priority is the gospel message.
Hmm. So you are literally loving them in deed.
Absolutely.
And in word.
Absolutely.
And so so what countries do these boxes go to?
Well, interesting enough, we get to track our boxes. We have a special label that we put on there, and we can put that number in the computer in January and tells us what country our boxes went to. Our boxes from our church last year went to the Philippines, went to Indonesia. We had some that went to our Indian reservations here in Arizona, where we need to spread the gospel message. Right now, our focus is out in the Pacific Ocean. Samaritan Purse has rented a barge, and the helicopters come down, drop our shoeboxes, and then from these islands that have not been reached with the gospel message come the people on boats to load up their boat to take back to do a distribution.
Well, that's wonderful. And so you're having an effect around the world, reaching out to
many nations.
With love and with affection. But how, you know, often in our minds, you know, we think, oh, well, what can I do? You know, sort of a look, you look around at the world. I mean, we're here in the richest country in the world, and we're very blessed with very many great things, religious freedoms, food, you know, housing. But often we think that there's so much in this world that needs to be loved, needs to be helped, and it's just too much for me. You know, what can I do? You know, I'm just your average Joe or your average Joanne. You know, so what is it that we can do? And so what would you say to people watching, listening, who are saying, well, this is wonderful, but I'm not a Linda. I can't pull this sort of stuff together. What would you say to them?
I would say what I say to our people in our church, in our community is get involved. You can either lead or you can follow, or you could do both. But whatever you do, get involved. There's something that you can do. It might be fixing brownies for the volunteers. It might be sewing something. You don't know. You just get involved and God will lead you to where it is you're supposed to serve.
Yes. So But you've been listening to The Kingdom and the Stories, and as you just heard, we'll also be live on Faith Talk Radio as well. But thank you for tuning in, and we look forward to seeing you again next week with one more adventure of how God is working through the kingdom.
Jesus defines discipleship as come and follow me. Next Monday at 5:30 p.m. on Faith Talk 1360, we'll hear another testimonial from a leader demonstrating how they and the people of the church are sacrificially loving the needy and beginning to see real change in their communities. If you have a personal example of how you are being the hands and feet of Jesus with your neighbors, we'd love to hear from you. Enter your story at harvestfoundation.org. That's harvestfoundation.org on the Contact Us tab. You can also subscribe to the podcast on The Kingdom and Its Stories on Apple Podcasts and Spotify.